Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in stormy New York. So let's hope that the power stays on for this episode. And we want to remind everybody, of course, that you can join our chat at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486. And you can also hit us up in our chat room. And we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. A home run was definitely hit last night, folks. Cardiff, Wales was electric, and for good reason. For good reason. I can't remember a time when I've enjoyed a pay-per-view much more than this one, pretty much from start to finish. And while I'm not going to sit here and tell you it was perfect, the little things, the little imperfections within this pay-per-view pale in comparison to everything that they did right. And to nitpick it just for little tiny things, I'm not interested in nitpicking. If you made a big error, I'm here to talk about it. If you made a horrible decision, I'm here to talk about it. We've often said, I may not agree with the booking all the time, but as long as you're showing me you have a road forward, and that's a logical road forward, I'm okay with it. Every single person that I want to win or think should win or have a fantasy booking for, you don't have to do that. As long as you show me you are taking me somewhere and it's just not a blind alley. And from beginning to end, this event was exactly what professional wrestling is supposed to be. Now, we can start off with the Street Profits and Madcap Moss taking on Austin Theory and the Alpha Academy. That was just a warm-up. But even in the warm-ups, it showed you a couple of things. One, Montez Ford is certainly a future solo superstar. And I think a lot of Madcap Moss, they're giving him the rub, put him in with guys like this. As far as Theory is concerned, I know a lot of people say he's losing. Don't worry about Theory. The idea behind this is to clearly show he's well in over his head. He's kind of green. He'll be fine. He'll be just fine. So we're not going to talk too much about that. We all also obviously have to cover a little bit of AEW's All Out and our predictions for that, NXT's, Worlds Collide. A lot to talk about. So let's start out with the six-woman tag team match. We have Bianca Belair, Asuka, and Alexa Bliss, obviously against Damage Control. And what we saw here, folks, basically reminds me of old-school wrestling in the sense that you did exactly what you should do, even given a team a loss. And that is, you've set up some potential side feuds, you've furthered some storyline angles, and you've made everybody look pretty damn good coming out of this. It's very obvious that Asuka and Io Sky are going to have some solo matches. They've even mentioned their former clique that they used to have about a decade ago in Japan. They didn't do that for no reason, folks. They did that because there's obviously a feud coming there, and that will be a good feud. And the right thing happened. Bayley won, but clearly didn't get the decisive move that caused the victory. So in doing that, Bayley can claim, I beat the women's champion, which she did. However, Bianca Belair can say, all you did was make the cover. It took a triple team to beat me, which it did. Good match from start to finish. Not perfect, but good. If there's one little criticism, and it's not a major one, it's that Alexa Bliss does not belong in this circle. I think you're losing the magic of Alexa Bliss, and you're losing it quickly. And you better do something about that. Because Alexa Bliss was once your hottest superstar in the female division by far. And you have relegated her now to being third banana on a three-woman team. She didn't even bother to come out with a Lily doll. It just seems like it's, whatever with her. Obviously, you're confused about what to do with her. And I hope that in the very near future, that corrects itself, because she can certainly be a top draw again. Right now, she's not. Right now, she's the forgotten woman in this division, and that should never be. But as far as this match is concerned, Mike, I thought they did an excellent job of opening up the show, and the crowd was just phenomenal. I don't even know if I should say. I don't want to aggravate people, but this isn't an AEW crowd you saw. These were people who really liked hard-nosed, good old-fashioned wrestling. And it showed. Everybody was having a good time. Nobody was nitpicking the little minor things that happened. Everybody was happy to be there, happy the WWE was in town. And let me tell you, the superstars really delivered. But this match, I thought, was a great opening.
Yeah, and think about this. In terms of the crowd, you saw what they did with Bayley. All right? You saw what they did with Bayley. They treated her like a conquering hero. They treated her like the face that she should be. Now, Bayley did the exact right thing in trying to get them to hate her. She tried her best, but it didn't work because the British crowds love Bayley. They love her.
Yeah, I know. You know, I thought to myself while they were chanting, you've made a huge mistake, but it wasn't Triple H's baby that made that mistake, I don't think, at that point. Maybe it was. But when they brought her back as a heel, I thought that was a mistake, and I still think it's a mistake. However, at least you're giving me a storyline. At least you're giving me something. So I can't come down on them too hard, really, Tom, because – I mean, at least we're getting something.
No, this crowd was absolutely electric. And, you know, to me, honestly, Marcus, it doesn't matter to me that she was brought back as a heel, because I would like to see her come back as a face. But coming back as a heel, you gave her two people who could clearly work in the ring. They have a story, and it has many branches. So to you know, if they brought her back as a heel and didn't give her anything and just put her by herself, not as much impact. But this has impact, and I believe that she's really enjoying herself as a heel.
I believe she is. I don't think she's extremely good at it, but I believe she's enjoying herself. But this was definitely a good match to open the show, Todd. I had a lot of fun watching.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said about the Bayley, Io Sky, and Dakota Kai, like you said, when Bayley came out to the ring yesterday, I think she better as a heel with a group.
Yeah, I mean, it is better that she's with a group if she's going to be a heel. I just, you know, it's a minor point. Like I said, I would have brought her back to the face. They didn't. She's doing okay. This crowd certainly was into it. That's all that really counts. We then get the Intercontinental Championship match with Gunther and Sheamus. And Mike called it. They brought back the third member, Fabian Aichner, although they're not going to – apparently they're going to call him by his second name now, Giovanni whatever it is, which sounds more Italian than German, but okay. But that's fine. That's fine. And the second they did that, I said to myself, uh-oh, we are going to get a rip-off ending. They're going to hit the ring. Sheamus is going to brogue kick him. They're going to jump in the ring, and then here comes the other guys from the Brawling Brutes, and that's what we're going to get. To their credit, they did not do that. to their credit, they gave us the match that we deserved. This match, more than any match on this card, and there's some good matches on this card, solidifies the type of professional wrestling I like. Which is, yes, it's predetermined. Yes, there's a pattern to it. But we're still going out there and really delivering. We're still going out there and we're not babying each other. We're still going out there and making some contact. At the end of the day, you're going to know you were in a match. It's not going to be a, oh, take a quick shower and everybody's just fine. You're going to feel it the next morning. That's what separates professional wrestlers from people who just goof around in their, you know, with their friends. You see, if you're going to be a professional wrestler, you should take a look at something and say, not everybody will do that. Not everybody's getting in a car and driving 200, you know, 190 miles an hour in NASCAR. Not everybody can hit a 99-mile-an-hour fastball or throw one. Not everyone can toss a football halfway downfield to a target. That's what makes these athletes special. Not everyone can get in a UFC ring and get their teeth kicked in. Professional wrestling didn't have that because it was predetermined. But when you see these matches like that, there is a natural instinct for people to say, yeah, well, I'm not letting somebody do that to me. I don't care if it's part of the script. You know, you can see they're really landing these chops. His chest is busted open. You can see some of the kicks that were pretty much about, you know, three-quarters potato. It was rough. It's a rough match. It was a violent match. It was a physical match. And not everyone wants to do that. That's the whole point. Anybody can get in there and say, well, you missed me by 5 inches with an enziguri. And then I'll miss you with 3 inches with a punch. And then I'll pretend to flip you, but you just flip yourself. And I'll cover you for the three count. Well, that's not a lot of physicality. What Sheamus and Gunther did last night, that separates wrestlers from fans. Simple as that. And the story they told was an awesome one. It could not have been booked any better. We heard the announcers clearly say Sheamus is being dominated. When's the last time you saw anyone dominate Sheamus like this? That's how good Gunther is. He is totally dominating Sheamus. Then, when Gunther got overconfident and thought he finished off Sheamus, Sheamus gets the second wind, comes back with a big comeback, and suddenly Gunther's on the ropes and they're saying he's in huge trouble. He's underestimated Sheamus's desire and heart. Sheamus isn't giving up. And as a matter of fact, he's just turned it into the next gear. And there were moments in that match, certainly, that it looked like Sheamus was going to win. And even in the end, it looked like he was going to win. This is exactly, this mirrors what professional wrestling, to me, should be. Not flippity-floppity dive moves, not you hold out your hands and I'll jump into them like it's a fireman catching a baby. This is professional wrestling to me. Both of those guys left that ring, and I'm sure they said, that was rough. That's not going to feel good in the morning. And that's the way it's supposed to be. And the story they told was tremendous. And even though I knew Sheamus probably wouldn't win, and I had speculated on the show that this is how they're going to get Gunther over really, really bad with the fans, get his heat, that he's going to beat the, you know, he's not a hometown hero, but close enough. They're going to beat the hometown boy, and the fans are going to be disappointed and say, damn, that Gunther. Well, that's what you want. I will say this. Gunther needs, I know everybody says he's one of the very top, you know, he trains wrestlers and he's the top guy. He needs to understand one thing. You sell Ricochet different than you sell Sheamus. And all of the amount of brutality that happened in that match, you negated it a little bit when you stood up like you were okay and was like, I won the title and everything. You should have been on your knees with that title above your head. not won the title, but kept it. You should have been clearly showing, I'm hurt. This was a war. I can barely stand up. He tends to undersell. And there are certain guys you can, like Ricochet, and there are certain guys you never should, like Sheamus. And in that environment, he should have literally been helped to the back by Imperium. Literally should have been helped. So they could have said, well, I mean, look what it took out of Gunther, even. It took a lot out of Sheamus, sure. Look at Gunther. Gunther kind of walked back like, yeah, well, that wasn't too bad. That is a minor point. I still say it's the match of the night, Todd, and I still say that this is why I actually watch professional wrestling.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with the Gunther and the Sheamus match last night, but at the Continental Championship, it brings back old school wrestling. It reminds me of an old school wrestling match back in the day. It reminds me of that.
Absolutely, and that's exactly, Mike, what I was looking for out of this match, and I think it delivered.
Right, and I mean, I loved it. It's the match of the night, and I'll put it to you this way. It was almost like a tale of two pay-per-views. The two previous matches, the pre-show match and the women's six-man match, well, okay, they were good matches, right? But this and what followed it, the people that followed this match looked at this match and said, oh, boy, we've got to do something. And apparently Triple H is willing – is going to be willing, the Triple H era is going to be willing to let these people, if there's a match that puts this, that does this, that is the obvious match of the night, he's going to allow people to come out there, the following matches to come out there and try to top it, which is the way it should be.
And I think now we're going to get a whole bunch of Imperium versus the Brawling Brutes, which I'm perfectly good with, Tom. This should be great.
Yeah, and, you know, man, I had chills watching this match because they just absolutely brutalized each other. Even the other guys did as well. And the stare down while they were the rest of them were going at it was just awesome. And then finally the bell rang. And from beginning to end, I honestly didn't know. In my back of my mind, I knew Sheamus wasn't getting the strap, but there was times where I thought, I was like, oh my God, they are going to give him, they are going to give it to him. Not only did this match have an immense amount of brutality, but it extended again, like I said with the last match, extended many, many branches because the third member came back. Mike called it the other day. Now they got the three on three. You're gonna get three man tags. You're gonna get tag matches. Extreme Rules is coming up. I'm pretty sure that Sheamus and Gunther are gonna go at it again, probably in a no holds barred match, which will be.
I mean, anything is possible. I will tell you this, for the benefit of fans who have been telling me for the past year and a half, old wrestling style is dead. The audience doesn't want that anymore. They want the flippity-floppity stuff. Did you hear the crowd? Did you hear the crowd last night? Did you hear the crowd run themselves hoarse chanting, this is awesome? Did you hear the ovation that Sheamus got at the end? Don't tell me that's what they want. They don't want this technical perfection that obviously looks fake and obviously looks pre-planned. They don't want, well, I'm going to climb to the very top of this ladder now, and I'll look down and make sure you guys got your arms extended so I got a good target, and then I'll jump and knock 12 people down, even though I weigh 190 pounds, and the combined weight is about 1,000 down below me. And even the guys I don't hit have to go down. I don't believe the majority of fans want that. I believe the majority of fans want what we saw last night, which is hard-nosed, balls-to-the-wall wrestling. And we didn't just see it in this match. This one was the prime example because I think they were a little more stiff than the rest of the matches. But this wasn't the only match. Far from it. So then we get to Liv Morgan versus Shayna Baszler. And do I have my problems with it? A little bit, because I still think that you made Liv Morgan look like, on a normal night, Shayna Baszler would just wipe the floor with me, but she got a little over cocky, and I was able to hit my big move and got a lucky win. I think if you want to make her somebody, she's got to look like she can hold her own at all times. She did not look like she could hold her own at all times last night. She looked like she was getting mauled for a good portion of the match and then would get her moves in and then get mauled again and then get a few moves in and then get mauled again. Nonetheless, this was Liv Morgan's best match because you gave it time, because you told the story, and the story was logical, that Liv Morgan obviously isn't as tough as Shayna Baszler. She doesn't have the submission skills or the legit credibility of a Shayna Baszler, but she's, what's the right word for it? She's determined. She won't give up easily, and she simply outlasted Shayna Baszler and surprised her. I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. If you want Liv Morgan as your champion going forward, fine. Then she has to win. But if that was the case, the only small revision I would have made in that match is I wouldn't have made it look like it was sort of a lucky strike. I would have clearly shown that Shayna Baszler got ran out of gas. Liv Morgan made the big comeback and just hit her with the finisher and won. I know a lot of people say, well, that's sort of what happened. No, not really. Go watch that match again, and it looked like, well, Shayna Baszler got a little overconfident, got that one. She got that one move in, and then boom, hit her finisher, and that was enough. I would have preferred showing that Liv Morgan had the chops to hang with her and literally just outsmarted her by saying, I will outlast her. I'm not as tough as her, but she's not in the cardio condition I'm in. I can withstand the worst she has, and when the time is right, I'll make my comeback and get her. Then we would believe that she could beat people tougher than her, because right now Liv Morgan isn't one of these people who look exceedingly tough. So you got to make her look some way. And I know you're trying to do the determined underdog, and it's working to some degree. To some degree. But the real beauty of this match is you took a match with Shayna Baszler, who nobody cared about anymore, and Liv Morgan, who was really considered a paper champion. And you made it a great match to which now people do care about Shayna Baszler, and people do have more respect for Liv Morgan. So the match actually did accomplish something. So I can't argue with the match, Mike. Again, it wouldn't not necessarily have been my booking, but it was an entertaining match, and I thought it was their best match.
Yeah, I thought it was too, and that's the thing. You're absolutely right, and it does. I mean, and it does set up some things for when we know we're gonna get the rematch between Liv and Ronda, and we know we're gonna at some point we know Charlotte's coming back, so this match sets up possibly those two matches if they don't decide to take it away from her and give it to Ronda beforehand.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting because now you're setting a stage to which before I was not overly interested in, which is Ronda Rousey versus Liv Morgan. And you're setting a stage by which you're going to divide the fans, but in a good way, not a bad way. There's going to be some people in that match saying, I'd rather have Ronda Rousey win. I like the badass thing. I like she's doing the Stone Cold Steve Austin, getting arrested and beating up the hierarchy and all that kind of stuff. And I like that. And then you're going to have the people saying, no, I like the underdog Liv Morgan thing. It'll be fascinating to see them work together now. It'll be very good. So I'm looking forward to that. Again, that's more branches on the tree. Todd, I thought they did a good job.
You're absolutely right there. Like you said, the Liv Morgan and the Shayna Baszler match was a pretty good match. Like you said, both women did pretty did a pretty awesome job last night in that match. Let's put some branches on the tree there.
Tom, what's your thoughts overall? Again, it's not my booking, but I'm perfectly okay with the match.
I am definitely okay with the match. Shayna and Liv did a really good job. And honestly, I have to agree with you on the one thing you said, that this was the best Liv Morgan match that I've seen since her inception. And I do believe that this had the Triple H stamp of approval all over it, because before, nobody cared about Shayna Baszler. She was kind of lost in the shuffle. Well, last night she was brought out, and they rebuilt her up to be a sawed-off monster. And yeah, she got a little too over cocky, thinking she can snap Liv Morgan in half. But it turns out that she just ran out of gas. Told a good story. And then there's also, I was actually disappointed that Ronda didn't come out, since she's did that whole thing on Friday night again, with having her suspension lifted and then attacking Adam Pearce. So I was actually disappointed.
I think
she'd
come out, though, and I'll tell you why. Because if she came out, she'd have had to come out to do what? She wants the championship. If she attacks Liv Morgan, she's a heel, so she's not going to do that. And Shayna Baszler's supposedly her friend. So I wasn't too surprised that she didn't come out. I was just happy that you rebuilt Shayna Baszler in a way that now we can take her seriously again. Okay, she didn't win, but certainly she belonged in that title picture. She was a heartbeat away from winning, which means she's not irrelevant. Before, she was irrelevant. Totally irrelevant. So, Todd, good job by all, I think. I was happy with the match.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I was happy with that match, too, and like you said, we're going to see more of that down the road.
I think so. We then get to Edge, who got a hero's welcome, and Rey Mysterio with Dominic taking on Judgment Day. And basically the plot of the match is Rey trying to make that hot tag into Edge. And what will Dominic do? Now, we had speculated that Dominic was going to turn heel. But we had crossed our fingers and said, please, but not to join the Judgment Day. If you want to make him go heel, that's fine. But not with the Judgment Day. Well, the jury's still out. See, the way I read this is Judgment Day already lost, which their faction is done. Their faction is a joke. Okay? They've started feuds without how many people. They've won almost none of them. Their faction is a joke. Break it up. If Triple H is smart, he'd just break it up. However, there's no indication that Dominic did this so he could join Judgment Day. They were laughing about it, but they didn't help him. They didn't walk to the back with him. And my take is Dominic did not join Judgment Day. He's just going to be on his own, a heel. Other people said, no, Marcus, you're wrong. Wait, you'll see. He's going to join Judgment Day. I hope that's not true. If that's true, that is a really, really, really bad job of booking. And I'll be terribly disappointed. If it's not true, then we're just going to have a series of Dominic Mysterio versus Edge and Dominic Mysterio eventually versing his dad. I'm all for it. Look, let's face it. Dominic Mysterio was not working out as a face. Fans weren't into him all that much. He was kind of languishing in his own whatever and his dad's shadow. He needs something that sets him apart unique. Now, do I think he has the chops to be a heel? I don't know. I've seen nothing to indicate that he does. But maybe. Maybe. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. So this, in my opinion, was my least favorite match of the night, but it was still a good match. It still told a good story. I do think the Judgment Day is about done. The main story of the match is that Dominic Mysterio is now a heel and turned on his father. So I guess that's a big enough event to justify the outcome of the match, Mike.
I think it is, too. And frankly, I look at Dominic Mysterio I see. And I know Paul Heyman is tied in with the Bloodline right now, but he'd be a prime Paul Heyman guy. Dominic hasn't proved that he can use the mic to any varying degree, so he's going to need somebody to speak for him a little for time until he learns how to. And the fact of the matter is he needs somebody, because when he was a face, he had his dad, right? And he had, for a short time he had Ed, but he had his dad when he was a face. Right now he has nobody. So he's going to need somebody to speak for him, or he's going to have to learn how to speak for himself, get better on the mic.
Yeah, for sure. And so let's see. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Now, if they're smart, they're not going to make him this, you know, twirl my mustache, evil heel. If they're smart, they're going to make him a confused kid. They're going to make him a kid who says, look, it wasn't bad enough I had to stand in your shadow. At least you were my dad. And everybody knows who the great Rey Mysterio is. Something I had to try to live up to. But then when you picked Edge over me in that tag team match, what message do you think that sent to me? What message do you think that sent to the fans? It sent the message that my son isn't good enough to defend himself. I have to call up somebody from my past to do it, which means you don't believe in me. And you never really did. So, yeah, I kicked Edge to show him I can defend myself. And I kicked you to remind you, I'm my own man. I'm not Rey Mysterio's son. And I'm going to prove that, no matter what it takes. Then when he starts making these little shortcut, you know, things, any way to win, because he's desperate to show his father, I'm a winner. It makes his motivation as a heel, he's still trying to live up to his dad's reputation. And at some point, he's going to have to fight his dad. That's a good storyline, really good one. I hope that's the one they go with. If they go with throw him in and make him some kind of weird love interest of Rhea Ripley, I'm out. That's dumb. I don't like it. Judgment Day is a terrible faction. And I mean a terrible faction. I can't remember a worse faction. I mean, it's almost right up there with Mace and T-Bar, right, with the redemption thing. It's terrible. It's just terrible. Rhea Ripley's doing the best she can to sell it. Everybody else, forget. It's just not working. Nonetheless, it was an okay match, Todd. I had fun watching it. They had a couple of good moments in it. Wasn't sure who was going to win, so that made it even better.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said, about the Rey Dominic Mysterio heel turn last night. It was a pretty good match, like you said. I would have Rey and Edge lose because the match by Dominic instead of the Edge and Rey Mysterio to win the match over Judgment Day. And also,
and that's why I say I don't think that he's joining Judgment Day. You just hit the nail on the head. If he was joining Judgment Day, he would have cheated to let them win, not cheated to have his dad win. That's why I don't think, Mike, he's joining Judgment Day. I could be wrong, but logically, what Todd said makes perfect sense.
Yeah, that's logic, you know, and that's the thing. And frankly, I think I'm going to – the word for spot of the night was the 619 into the spear.
Yeah. Definitely a great move. Definitely a great move. I don't know if it's the spot of the night because there's so many, but it's one of them, that's for sure. Tom, you know, we don't know for sure what Dominic Mysterio is going to be doing, but if he just stays away from Judgment Day and just becomes that sort of heel with the idea that he thinks his dad sort of doesn't believe in him, I can buy that.
Yeah, and, you know, Todd said it. I definitely don't want Dominic to join the Judgment Day or become the love interest of Rhea Ripley, which would actually be hilarious. But I would definitely be out on that one. But that being said, I really thought that if anybody needed that win, even as inadvertent as it could have been, it was Judgment Day. Dominic could have, you know, pulled the leg and tripped somebody, but didn't realize it was Edge, or didn't realize it was
right.
Ray, and then found out, you know what I mean? Like, it was like a whip into the ropes reversal, and he just grabs the leg, oops, like, wasn't looking, wasn't paying attention, cost them the match, and then they would, like, admonish him, and then he would be like, I'm sorry, oh, low blow. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes more sense than really what happened to me, and I was kind of hoping for
that. You see, Tom, that's why I don't think he's joining Judgment Day, because what you said would be exactly what they would have done if he was joining Judgment Day. He didn't do that. Why would, you know, maybe Judgment Day's going to try to say, well, you were the one responsible for our loss. You have what it takes. They didn't beat us. You sort of beat us, which means that you're the underrated one. You're the one that should be what I, they could try that. But if you put Dominic Mysterio in this group, I'm telling you, this is a disaster. Number one, you'll have a four-person group. There aren't that many three-people groups with three men and a woman. Who are you gonna battle against? It's not going to work. Just let Dominic go out on his own. Let Dominic say, I don't need the Judgment Day. I don't like them. They're not my friends. But I need to prove something on my own, because obviously my father doesn't believe in me. That makes sense to me. So I'm hoping against hope that's what they do. Next one up is Seth Rollins versus Matt Riddle, and boy, oh boy. Now, these two have stated on many occasions that while they have buried the hatchet, they still aren't really overly fond of each other. Well, Riddle has never said he wasn't overly fond of Seth, but Seth said, there's a lot of things that Riddle does, the way he conducts business, I don't like. Doesn't mean we can't work together. Just means there's things about him I don't like. Very talented. He's always said he's very talented. He lets his mouth get him in trouble. Well, you wouldn't know that they were, not on the same page, because they certainly are on the same page in the ring. This came close to being match of the night. Came very damn close. And if somebody says, this is my match of the night, I'm not going to argue with you. It's damn close. These guys did a brilliant job, but far and above, and I know this is a small point, but if you're into the psychology of wrestling like I am, you'll know exactly what I mean. The minute Seth Rollins took a hold of Riddle's head and the camera closed in and he said, you're a loser, you'll always be a loser, your wife knows you're a loser, and now I'm going to prove to your kids that you're a loser, I said, oh, Jesus, Seth Rollins is losing. That's the signal. When I say this, you make the big comeback, and then they'll say, oh, Seth Rollins should have shut his mouth. It's almost like, yeah, you let me say all these things, and then the receipt is you win. That was the old WWE. That's exactly what the old WWE would have done. You gave away the ending to the match. Seth Rollins starts mouthing off and saying your ex-wife divorced you, your kids are going to see that you're a loser, and that is dog whistle for let's go home, and you win. It didn't happen this time. It didn't happen this time. It's a very, very big step forward for the WWE. I can't tell you how big of a step forward that is, because every single time something like that happened for the past 10 years, it meant the other guy's winning. It meant, okay, there's the read. That's it. He's done. This time it didn't. Now it's going to cast doubt in fans' minds when you do it again. And that's exactly what you should have to do. Sometimes somebody has to take a fall, even if it makes them look a little eh, because there's a greater story to be told and you want these fans to be kept in suspense. Matt Riddle, to his credit, agreed to take a fall after being basically humiliated. A lot of wrestlers wouldn't do that. Remember during the Samoa Joe feud when Samoa Joe put his hands on, he didn't hit her, but he kind of alluded that he touched AJ Styles' wife, and he went to their house, and I said, well, AJ Styles is winning. I mean, you know now that AJ Styles is winning, because they're not going to let him do all that, and then AJ loses. That was the old WWE philosophy. Now I wouldn't be so sure. Just because you did that. So you can talk about all the great moves in this match, and there were plenty. You can talk about the athleticism of both of these guys, and they're both great athletes. But the moment of that match for me was that, because when I was proven wrong, I said, okay, now all bets are off in the future. You've just erased all of that stigma that comes with something like that. And now you've made wrestling a lot more fun, because now I can't figure it out based on what. I know that's a convoluted point, Mike, but you understand what I mean, right?
Yeah, I understand what you mean, and that's the thing. And think about this. I mean, we've known for a while that in terms of running the business in and out of the ring, Vince McMahon was a micromanager, and that included writing and booking, right? So,
right.
And that goes into what you were saying. A lot of the times, he was the final say in what happened. And if something like this happened during a match or whatever, or like you said, when that scenario happened, or when Bray Wyatt, remember Bray Wyatt goes over to the Miz's house, and
right.
The whole thing with the kid and the doll and stuff like that, and what happened after that, and I believe that Miz ended up winning that match or whatever, you know, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's extraordinarily important. Tom, you understand what I mean? The philosophy of wrestling was always like, if you're the heel and you're having a feud with one of the top faces and you're about even, you know, you always have that climax of the match is the heel is winning. It looks like the face is doomed. The heel grabs the face and says, look in that camera and look at all these people you're about to disappoint. You told all these people you're the greatest, you're this, you're that, you're nothing. And I'm going to prove to every single fan here you're nothing. And I hope your kids are watching on TV because they're going to prove to them that you're nothing. That usually means you're mounting a comeback and you're winning. And fans can read that. This time when he did it, Tom, he didn't mount the comeback. He mounted the comeback, but he didn't win. And that breaks that stigma of, you know, wrestling 101 and casts shadows of doubt in the future.
For sure, yeah, what Seth Rollins did was basically a blueprint for WWE feuds like that, you know, for the last 10 years, maybe more. I didn't think Seth Rollins was going to lose, because if anybody needs a win, it's Seth Rollins for sure. After losing three times to Cody Rhodes. So I think that the right person won. The psychology of the match was outstanding. Because they built the story. They did this thing on Monday where the cameras were supposedly off and Seth Rollins said what he said, and you kind of blur that reality fantasy thing, and then everybody's like, I can't wait to see him get his ass kicked. And while he did get some shots, you know, he took some brutality in that match from Matt Riddle, but he came out on top and is like, you know, like, man, I can't wait to see that guy get his ass kicked again. Like, I wasn't like the next.
See, that's the thing, Tom, is you got to understand when you're dealing with the psychology of this, they out psychologied the normal wrestling 101. Like I said, the normal wrestling 101 is somebody's beating up the Undertaker and they say, oh, this is the guy I'm supposed to be afraid of. He's nothing. I showed you. I told you he was nothing. Then he popped up and killed you. That's usually the way it works. Well, same way when you're bad-mouthing someone or their family, usually you pop up and destroy them. What what the booking of this match was is that Seth Rollins intentionally got under Matt Riddle's skin to the point where Riddle was not focusing on wrestling. He was focusing on revenge, and that's why he lost. That's really good psychology. And the announcers played it up and said, I think Riddle was all emotion tonight and not logically going out there to pick Seth Rollins apart. He played head games with Riddle, and Riddle fell for it. That works. Outstanding match, Todd. I thought this was very close to match of the night had it not been for Sheamus and Gunther.
Well, you're absolutely right here. Like you said, the Seth Rollins and Matt Riddle match we saw last night. You know, like you said, what Seth Rollins says to Riddle there, he said something, you're still a loser, blah, 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 and all that other stuff.
And you would think that that was the loss. You would think that that guarantees Seth Rollins the loss, and it didn't. So bully for them for doing that. Now we get the feature match. And I'm saying to myself, I really like Drew McIntyre, and I think Drew McIntyre is a very good wrestler. And I like Roman Reigns, and I think Roman Reigns is a very good wrestler. There is no way on planet Earth they are going to outdo Gunther and Sheamus, nor Seth Rollins and Riddle. And while I don't think they did, they came damn close again. I mean, damn close. This was a really, really good match. It had all the right elements. There was no Usos or Paul Heyman there. Roman Reigns looked like he was shook by the crowd support for Drew McIntyre. He looked uncomfortable. He looked like he was out of his element. McIntyre looked like he was going to feed off that crowd for the win. Everything was going as planned. These guys literally beat the hell out of each other for 30 minutes. And up to about the 26th minute, they fell down, both of them exhausted, both of them out of it, and here comes Theory with the briefcase, and I'm saying, holy crap, we didn't factor any of this in. I have no idea why Tyson Fury knocked him out. I have no idea why Tyson Fury knocked him out. My assumption is maybe they're going to try to pull off a match with those two at some point. But he didn't get a chance to cash it in. But then, with the whole entire crowd up on their feet, and it really looking like this is the culmination, you pulled your little swerve with Theory, and that didn't work. This is going to be the end. Claymore kick comes. You get the two count, and then out of nowhere, Solo Sikoa pulls the referee out of the ring, and you're like, holy crap, there's another Russo. Really good booking. Really fun match. I mean, this is the type of match that makes you jump to your feet and yell and cheer, just like this crowd did. All night long, these matches had you on the end of your seat. And let me explain something. Usually when I'm watching these pay-per-views, I'm multitasking. I'm doing some writing on what I'm going to say on the show, working on some stuff. I didn't do that all night last night. I had it in my lap. But I found myself not checking fan reactions on the phone, not seeing what the sheets are saying about individual matches as they happen, not checking live reactions to things, because I was engrossed in the pay-per-view. And I said to myself, I don't think I've checked one thing all night, maybe once, during commercial breaks. Even during the women's matches that I'm not normally too hyped for, I was focused. This goes to show you that what I've said and this whole panel has said for a long time, it's true, and that is when you non-WWE fans are saying, oh, these guys aren't as good as the other people. I told you, every single person on this roster is, with maybe one or two exceptions, like almost and whatever, almost every single person on this roster capable of giving you a match that's going to make you stand and cheer, but you've got to allow them to do it. You can't handcuff them and tell them don't do this and don't do that and don't do this and this is what you will do and you've got 3 minutes. You can't put on a good match that way. It's impossible. But if you give them equal playing field to anyone else who you think is superior, they can do everything anyone else can do. You don't get into the WWE because you suck. And these guys proved it last night. If you come out of this pay-per-view saying, Drew McIntyre's overrated, you have no idea what you're talking about. I mean, God bless you. You have the right not to like Drew McIntyre, but you have no idea what you're talking about. If you come out of this saying Roman Reigns is a terrible wrestler, okay, you have the right to your opinion, but you have no idea what you're talking about. You're just being a homer. You know, I'm a Mets fan, so, you know, I can say, oh, Aaron Judge is a terrible baseball player. Well, obviously he's not. And that would just be me saying it because I don't like the Yankees. So you have to be honest. There wasn't a bad wrestler in this pay-per-view. And there wasn't a bad match in this pay-per-view either. This pay-per-view was outstanding. And my only complaint is the ending of not even the ending of the Drew McIntyre and Roman Reigns match. I thought that was brilliant. My complaint is the ending of the pay-per-view. That's where I think you blew it. If you wanted to do that for the live crowd and the live crowd only and cut the camera, I guess I'm okay. But Drew McIntyre just went through the most grueling, supposedly, and disappointing match of his career, where he had the titles in the palm of his hand and it was stolen from him in his hometown in front of his home fans who are greatly disappointed. And I don't think this is the time for Tyson Fury to get in the ring and play karaoke. I think that was embarrassing. I think it hurt the overall feel of the match. I did not want to see it. Honestly, do not think Drew McIntyre should have participated. I was waiting for Drew McIntyre to level him. I thought that's what was going to happen. I thought McIntyre was going to flip and level Tyson Fury. Because I said, there's no way on earth they're going to continue to have him sing American Pie. And then all kinds of other songs. They're not going to do that. McIntyre is supposed to have been through the most grueling match of his life and the most disappointing. And now they're going to start, karaoke? That I did not understand and that I did not like. However, this match was awesome. And there's another branch on a tree. We now have another Uso. And, of course, my first thought is, where does this leave Sami Zayn? That's the big story, isn't it? And I guarantee you that's going to factor in. So, Mike, other than that kind of ridiculous ending, what a terrific match these two guys put on.
Okay, let me just address that ridiculous ending, which I didn't see because I don't usually watch it live. I come back and I'll get it off of, let's just say, a less than reputable sort
okay.
of pirate. So on those sites did not have the ending. So I didn't see the karaoke. But you're right.
Count yourself
and, hey, you're right. Hey, right. Now, you're right, but here's something to think about. What do we say sometimes when we talk weeks before something happens on WWE TV, we've talked about it, and then a couple weeks later, a month later, whatever it is, it happens. We all the time say somebody must be listening to the show, right? Someone, be it Angel Garza, be it some writer, be it some source you may have that's in the WWE, somebody's listening to the show. Two times this happened last night. Time when they brought Giovanni in, which is Fabian Eichner, Giovanni Vinci, and
right. This
time when they brought Solo Sikoa in.
Yes.
I've been asking, where is Solo Sikoa? Now, granted, up until this point, I thought he was hurt. You know, I'd heard rumors that he was hurt, but where's Solo Sikoa, and why haven't they brought up Vinci, you know, or Fabian Eichner? So, you know, that made me smile from ear to ear when I saw that those two things happen, because we know what's going to happen with with Imperium. We know that, and we know now that gives me hope that at some point, when after they deal with what they're going to deal with Sasha and Naomi, that at some point, possibly there's a greater chance that Naomi may join the Bloodline.
Yeah, listen, my first reaction was, this is the end of Sami Zayn, because they're not going to have, you know, four guys in Roman Reigns in the Brotherhood. So they're going to say, you know, your usefulness has ended. You wait. That's coming right up. That's coming right up. But take nothing away from this match. The timing, even. The camera work. This is what fans have to understand. In order to make that kind of a match, the timing of all the wrestlers involved has to be perfect, from Theory running down, Tyson Fury doing what he did, Solo Sikoa doing what he did, but also the camera work. Don't give away that he's, you know, jumping through until the last minute so we can get that one, two, and then whose hand is that? You know what I mean? Everything was 100% on the money. This was an awesome title defense, one of the better title defenses I've seen in recent memory. And now I'm hearing that there might be some interest in bringing Brock Lesnar in to fight Gunther. I'll take that match. I'll take that match. There is so many. We are now seeing a really fresh start, and I predicted we'd see a fresh start. I didn't know whether it'd be a good fresh start or a bad one, but my God, this is a good one. And here's something you got to understand, too. They've got to live up to this now. Now, there was one point I was asked to address, and that is, what is my feeling about Karrion Kross throwing the water bottle? I liked Karrion Kross better before, not in the gimp outfit, but when he was bald and he was being, like, demonic and they were supposed to be occultish. Now he's just some dude in the audience. I don't care for this persona of Karrion Kross. I don't know why you call yourself Karrion Kross and then you act like this. That doesn't make a lot of sense. You know, you don't call yourself something so dark and sinister, and then you're just sort of a dude. Do I think that that encourages fans to throw things? You know, I can't say that, and I'll tell you why. Does that encourage fans to, you know, hit somebody with a chair when some wrestler's in the audience and hit somebody with a chair? Does it encourage a fan to jump the railing if a wrestler jumps the railing, you know, is somebody going to pull the referee out because Solo Sikoa came out of the audience and did it? I don't necessarily think so. If you're a fan and you're going to throw a bottle, you're going to throw a bottle whether he did it or not. I mean, most fans are going to say, well, he threw a bottle and got away with it because it's part of the show. So do I think, is it the best sign in the world? No. Did it look punk-ass? Yeah. Did it make Karrion Kross look like a bitch instead of somebody tough? Yes. That's why I'm against it. Do I think fans are then going to say, oh, boy, we can do it too? Not unless you're absolutely a moron. I mean, obviously, it's a part of the show. You can't jump in and haul a referee out of the ring either. You can't jump over the guardrail and kidnap the Miz, you know either. So, no, I don't think it's going to encourage fans to throw water bottles. I think it's just if fans are going to throw stuff, they're going to throw stuff. But I didn't like it for a different reason. I don't see how that's a part of – I just don't see it. So, having said that, Tom, what's your thoughts about Karrion Kross and the water bottle incident?
Well, it held as much credibility as The Undertaker sitting out in the crowd and eating popcorn. Why would you do that? I think it was dumb. I think that was probably the stupidest moment of the pay-per-view. Next to the karaoke thing, which I honestly thought that Drew McIntyre is going to knock him out, but I didn't know whether he did or not, because after they started singing Sweet Caroline, I shut it off. That actually,
they sang a couple. It didn't stop with Sweet Caroline. That's the thing. They did another one. And then McIntyre did one on his own. It was not good. That was not good. Besides, McIntyre should be in no mood to do that, and McIntyre should be in no frame of health. And, you know, we had another point made that why is Tyson Fury in there shaking hands with Roman Reigns when he obviously cheated? He obviously was going to lose, and he got outside interference, so why is Tyson Fury saying good match? That's well done. Makes no sense. Now, I know he did that with McIntyre, too. But I don't think we need Tyson Fury to say, oh, well done, mate. You had a good match and everybody was cheering for you. Why didn't he say the truth? Why didn't he say you got cheated? This whole crowd just saw you get cheated. And that's not what a champion does. He didn't say that. He shook the hands of the champion. So I'm very confused about that. I think they don't know what they want to do with Tyson Fury. They want him to wrestle again, or if that's what you want to call it. They want him to get in the ring and do something, and I don't know if they want him to be a face or a heel. So I think they're hedging their bet, saying, well, let's see what the crowd thinks. Because the crowd at Cardiff is going to be different than the crowd in Chicago. You know what I mean? So we got to figure that out. I think that's what the WWE's got to figure out. Fury's involvement in this was mind-boggling. I don't get it, and I don't like it. And you know, I'm not going to let that spoil the pay-per-view, though. Having Drew McIntyre sing Sally Can't Wait or whatever the hell the name of that song is by whoever it was, off key, is not going to take away what they did in the pay-per-view. It was dumb. Karrion Kross throwing a water bottle like a 12-year-old boy was dumb. But I'm not going to let that take away what happened in the ring. And what happened in the ring last night and how much that crowd enjoyed it was unbelievable. This was better than WrestleMania. It really was. It was better than WrestleMania. They gave every match plenty of time. None was rushed. You notice that? There was no rushing. There was no 3-minute match to get to the next one. We gave everyone plenty of time. Even the people who lost the matches came out looking like they're tough and they belong, and not like, well, they're a pussy and they just got their ass kicked. It's a whole different feel, and I hope they keep this up. I'm not going to nitpick the karaoke, and I'm not going to nitpick the water bottle incident. I'm not even going to nitpick the one move that Drew McIntyre made where he never even touched Roman Reigns, and Reigns just flipped in the air. I was like, okay, well, he didn't have his hands on him. Because there was too much that was good. There's too much that's good. I'm giving this pay-per-view an A+. I just can't imagine a pay-per-view being much better than this, Mike. It delivered on every single match. There was not one match that I said, well, that was good. Every single match I said, bravo. So it has to be an A+ for me.
I got to give it an A+ as well. And hey, here's something to think about. Even the tag team matches, particularly the six-woman tag team match, where they gave each woman with each other woman at least, I would say, 5 minutes between them. Bayley and Asuka, Bayley. I can go through the list of participants in the match. They gave them – that match probably was a 25-minute match, and it had to be because you wanted all those six women to at least get some time with one or more of the people on the other team. You wanted that because that had to happen because you know what you got in Bianca Belair and Bayley and Asuka and Io Sky, you know, and Dakota Kai is kind of a mystery at times, but, you know, you get what I'm saying. You had that match had to be a 25-minute match. Had to.
I agree with you. They gave plenty of time to everybody. There was attention to detail that wasn't there before, too. For instance, in the Sheamus match with Gunther delivered his finisher a couple times. Times Sheamus kicked out. And the idea was not, Sheamus is so tough, he just kicked out of Gunther's finisher. they kind of watered it down by saying he didn't get it all. He didn't get it all. He was too tired. He's exhausted. And Sheamus is a large man, and he didn't get it all. That's why Sheamus kicked out. They said that twice. Didn't get it all. That's brilliant. If you're going to have somebody kick out of somebody's finisher, it's a great idea if they say, well, they really didn't get it all. Now, they didn't do that with Roman and Drew, but you were led to believe that, well, Roman's so exhausted, that spear was not, you know, his normal spear. And the brogue kick, Claymore kick, it was about to finish him off until Solo Sikoa pulled him out. So everything was handled. There was a great attention to detail in this pay-per-view, and everything was fairly logical. I just can't see it being much better than this, Todd. What's your rating?
I got to go to the same grade with you at A+.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this. I think this was the best pay-per-view I have seen so far this, certainly so far this year, and maybe so far in the last couple of years, Tom.
I couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, the thing is about, you know, I mentioned to you, I sent you a message the other day. I said, you know, they only have 5 matches. How long is this pay-per-view? And you said 3 as advertised. I said, there's no way they're doing half-hour matches for each one. And it turns out they did, because they gave every match time to tell a story, time to get things in, even like the little stuff. It was never done before. And Mike mentioned that earlier as well, like even the tag team matches and the big events, everything was so micromanaged before. Now it's coming to light, really, because, you know, the tag team matches, that's 7-8 minutes, and you hardly had any time to do any to tell any story. These tag team matches that were on this, specifically on this event, told a story. And it had time, and it was exciting, and it was impactful. And if I could give this a AA+, I would. I enjoyed immensely this pay-per-view more than I have in, you know, WrestleMania was great. You know, Sami Zayn versus Johnny Knoxville kind of ruined it for me, but other than all in all, WrestleMania was great. But this pay-per-view, from the camera work to the timing to the crowd electricity, nothing short of amazing, and I really hope that the WWE can follow this up and didn't completely blow their load.
No, there was 6 matches, not 5. The 6 matches on this card, and it went pretty much the 3 hours, give or take, without too much hype or too much, you know, backstage hoopla. They pretty much concentrated on the wrestling. This is the way forward. I hope the WWE does not backtrack on this. I truly hope they don't. Because I told you a long time ago, I was watching a federation. I don't remember what the name of the federation was. It was some little tiny federation that probably existed when I was 8. But I was watching it on YouTube. And I said, this is the wrestling philosophy they used to have. Some guy came in the ring. I don't know who the hell he was. He looked like a monster. He's a big dude. And he literally tore the head off some guy for about 6 minutes. And the announcers were saying, do you see the power of this guy? Do you see the violence and the anger and the whatever? Who the hell would ever want to get in the ring with this guy? He's demolishing a quality wrestler here. And he sure as hell did. They go to a commercial break. When they come back, here comes Mr. All-American guy. And he's taking on 2 guys. And he literally choke slams 2 guys equally. Mauls them, pretty much. And your head immediately says, I wonder what would happen if that guy took on the last guy we saw. That's what you're supposed to do as a wrestling booker. Well, that's what ended up happening with me last night. I'm saying, I know this Solo Sikoa thing is going to be the end of Sami Zayn, so that's going to be interesting. Then I say to myself, oh, we're going to get Imperium versus the Brawling Brutes now. This is going to be something interesting. And then I said to myself, well, we're obviously getting Asuka and Io Sky. That's going to be fun to watch. And as each match developed, I'm saying to myself, we're going to start getting some really good matches that we can anticipate before they happen, like Gunther and Brock Lesnar. And you're saying to yourself, wow, it's starting to happen again. What Triple H is doing, for instance, I had a lot of people write me and say, did you hear The Miz is going to steel cage with Bobby Lashley? Yeah, because I'll tell you what Triple H is doing. He is making the guys that got ran down to be nothing but mid-card garbage into qualified contenders. The Miz isn't going to get squashed in that cage. He's not going to win. But he is going to absolutely come close. And the idea behind it's going to be he's no joke. See, that's what they did to Shayna Baszler last night. Everybody said, oh, Shayna Baszler, like she's going to win. How many times in a row has she lost? 600? Yeah, but we saw a different Shayna Baszler now. You've built her back. You've shown she belongs. That's what you're doing with The Miz. That's what you're doing with some of these other guys. You're starting to show that what they can do. And you say, oh, well, okay, these guys are legit. That's what Triple H is beginning to do. That's the beauty of this whole thing. The psychology and showing the fans the talent of the workers is beginning to come back, Mike. And as soon as that does come back, there isn't going to be any joke matches. You're going to say, okay, well, that's a quality match. See, the WWE did that too much where they ran down their mid-card to the point where you say, well, if this guy's taking on this guy, it's a joke match. That'll last 2 minutes. We're not going to have any more of that, I don't think. Everybody's going to be on like a semi-equal playing field where you say, yeah, we do have the top guys, but that doesn't mean that this guy who's in the upper mid-card right now can't be a top guy starting tomorrow, you know?
Right, and that's the thing. And think about this. They're building factions now. Think about it. They're starting to build. We thought damage control was going to be a joke. No. Triple H is starting, and it started last night, building damage control. You know, the brawling roots, we know what that was going to be. Okay. They're bringing back the Imperium, you know. I wouldn't be at all surprised if they do something, if he starts like a faction war deal at times, you know. I mean, that would be pretty cool. And look, as far as the number of matches, what have we said? Before Vince left, each pay-per-view, they were, including WrestleMania, they were having 10-plus matches, right? 10-plus matches.
Yep.
You know? And
yes.
Most of the matches were 6, 8, 10 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, stretching it by 10 minutes, you know?
Yep.
Well, what was it, about 6 matches, 8 matches on this pay-per-view?
6 matches.
And all of them.
6 matches and then one on the pre-show. That's right. They stretched them all out nicely now. And again, we can anticipate matches. Can you imagine the crowd reaction if Gunther is going to come out there in the next month or two and say, I've beaten all the top contenders. I've beaten the Irish. I've beaten the Scottish. I've beaten the whatever. There's no good American wrestlers. And Brock Lesnar's music hits. Can you imagine the pop that he's going to get? The roof's going to blow off the building. There's a lot to anticipate here, but you're right about the amount of matches, and this is why I don't know. This leads us into talking a little about AEW's All Out tonight. There's a lot of matches on this card. There's like 14 matches, so I'm not going to talk about them all. We're just going to talk about like the top five. So we got the Trios Championship, which is Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks versus Adam Page and the Dark Order for the Trio Championships. I'm imagining that we're going to see Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks win this. I just don't know is the Dark Order that big of a deal that they're going to give them the trios? I don't know. Maybe, because maybe they want to use Kenny Omega for something bigger than this trios thing. So that would be the only reason I would lean more toward Hangman Page, but you could say the same thing about Page. So it's interesting the way they've got that dynamic. You would think they wouldn't want to tie up Page in a trios championship thing. You'd think they wouldn't want to tie up Omega. if anybody wants to get tied up, it might be Omega because he still has some health issues and things. So that's why I'm going with Omega and the Bucks. Mike, what do you think?
I'm going with Omega and the Bucks as well. And the fact of the matter is, you know, they've tried Hangman Page as a face. It may be time to flip him.
Could be. Could be. I mean, it's interesting to see what they'll do with that and how long they'll give it. I mean, this could be a five-hour pay-per-view. Bryan Danielson takes on Chris Jericho, and they're doing the sports entertainer basically versus the wrestler. This is tougher to call. Much tougher to call. I think for AEW, they'd want Danielson to win, but I don't know why. I don't think he's gonna. I think Chris Jericho, Mike Todd. What do you think? I'm gonna go with Jericho.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I think I'm gonna go with Jericho as well. But for the last couple pay-per-views, you haven't been winning any matches, really.
Right. Right. Yeah, I agree. Jericho Danielson, Tom, what do you think?
It's going to be a good match for sure, but I'm probably, if I had to, you know, my spidey senses tell me that Jericho's winning because he hasn't been on a winning streak as of late. So I think that the teacher versus student or the sports entertainer versus pro wrestler is going to, I mean, Jericho should win, but I don't see.
Well, it'd be interesting to see what the AEW crowd certainly would, I would imagine, want Danielson to win, Mike, but something tells me he's not going to. What's your opinion?
I think you're right on that they would want Danielson to win, but something tells me that it's going to be Jericho. You know, because one, I don't know, they want the Jericho Appreciation Society to be something.
Right.
And if Jericho's not winning, how's that going to carry any, you know, heft?
I don't think he's going to win clean, but I think he's going to win. Let's see, what else have we got? We've got the AEW Tag Team Championships, which is Swerve and My Glory versus the Acclaimed. This is tougher. By the way, Swerve and My Glory is a really bad name for a tag team. Just saying. I don't really know who to pick in this. I'm going to pick the Acclaimed simply because the same thing. I don't know how long they're going to have Swerve Scott and together with in a tag team. Maybe longer than we think. It depends. But out of the two, I'd rather see the Acclaimed win. So I'll say the Acclaimed, Mike.
I'm going to say the Acclaimed's winning as well. Here's another thing. They just put Billy Gunn with the Acclaimed. So are you going to say that the Acclaimed aren't losing and make Billy Gunn look bad for turning on his sons?
Exactly. Yeah, I think it's more likely going to be the Acclaimed. Todd, what's your thought?
I got to go with the Acclaimed as well. Like you said, with Billy Gunn, when his sons turned on him a couple of weeks ago, I was like, they're gonna be the tag team champions. Well, like you said, we were all.
Yeah,
know how
that's
long.
My thought. We'll see. The only other one. Well, we got the interim women's championship: Toni Storm, Jamie Hayter, Sheeta, and Britt Baker. Logically, I'd say Britt Baker. I mean, that seems to make the most sense. Then you're probably going to get at some point Britt Baker, Thunder Rosa, I guess, again. So that would make, to me, that would make the most sense, even though supposedly they don't like each other in real life. Doesn't mean they can't get along in the ring. So I'm going to say Britt Baker, Mike.
I'm going to say Britt Baker as well. And frankly, it's been a long time since Britt Baker held that title. I know they gave her that Owen Hart, whatever it was, title, but
right.
she needs to hold the title. She is the glue. She is the straw that stirs the drink in that women's division. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, and I think that's the money match when they return to. So I'm going to go with Britt Baker. Todd, what's your thought?
I got to go with you guys too. I got to go with Britt Baker as well. You know, like everybody says on this panel, it's been a while since Britt Baker held a championship belt.
Yeah, seems logical, Tom. So what's your choice?
It really does seem logical Britt would win, but, you know, I'm gonna not pick Britt Baker. I hope it's Toni Storm, honestly, because they haven't done anything with Toni Storm since she came in, and that was her major complaint in WWE. And what are they really doing with her? They're just feeding her.
Yeah, they used her a little bit in the front end, and now not so much. So yeah, and I understand. And that leaves us just Jon Moxley versus CM Punk. Where are we at again? We're in Chicago. Who lost last time on TV? CM Punk. Gee, I wonder who's going to win. I say CM Punk. I think it's going to be obvious. The only other thing I want to add is I think he's going to get attacked by MJF afterwards. I think MJF's going to make his appearance here tonight, Mike.
I think he is too. And could we might we possibly see a double flip? I mean, MJF should be about ready to turn face, and really, CM Punk should be a heel, and there's no doubt in my mind CM Punk should be a heel, but they're not going to pull that. I don't think they're going to pull that in Chicago, and really, what was the argument for Jon Moxley why he left the WWE? Because he wanted to do basically the same type of match, maybe a little bit more hardcore, but the same type of match that Sheamus and Gunther did last night. That's why he left the WWE.
It's true. And, well, you made a good point. You know, Triple H might have been sending a signal to some potential defectors when their contract is up from AEW 2 that things have changed, boys. If you like these more, physical matches and things, what do you think these were? You think these AEW guys weren't watching these matches? Just like I told you when AEW first started. If you think these WWE guys aren't watching these matches, back in catering saying, man, I wish I could do that. I wish I could go out there and do that, but they won't let me. You're crazy, and that's why they all went. But now you got to also take a look at the guys who's not being used in AEW or used poorly or rarely. And they're looking at this saying, well, you know, Triple H is cool with me, and he's always treated me fair, and look at these matches. So that'll be interesting. But, yeah, I'm going with CM Punk, Todd. What's your thoughts?
I got to go. I know we're not CM Punk fans, but it looks like Punk is going to probably be once again AEW champion, and I think you're going to see a double turn with MJF and being involved in a double turn right there.
We will see. Yeah, it's in Chicago, so this will be interesting. Tom, what's your thought?
My thoughts are this, because I'm the big swerve guy. I see MJF coming down to jump CM Punk after the match, but man, would it be something if Colt Cabana made an appearance.
That's going to happen. It would be, but I have a feeling you're not going to see that. Yeah, what a swerve, right? But I don't think that's going to happen. All right, let's take a look briefly at the NXT. He's going to pretty much head-to-head with him tonight, right? And got a couple of WWE superstars on there. Won't take a look at the full thing. Now, the reason this is happening is the WWE disbanded the NXT UK. So basically, it's not all, but most of them are UK versus the, American NXT. We have Bron Breakker versus Tyler Bate for the NXT and NXT UK Championship Unification. We have NXT UK Women's Championship Unification, Mandy Rose versus Miko Satomura and Blair Davenport. We have NXT UK Tag Team Champion Affiliation, the Creed Brothers versus Josh Briggs, Brooke Jensen, Gallus, and Pretty Deadly. That's a fatal four-way. And then we have a couple of matches that aren't unification matches. We have the tag team Women's Tag Team Championships, North American Championship, where Carmelo Hayes goes head-to-head with Ricochet. And then we have Nathan Frazier and Axiom, 2 out of 3 falls. I would imagine that the majority of these matches, Mike, are going to be won by the American NXT guys. So I'm going to take Bron Breakker to beat Tyler Bates. I'm going to take Mandy Rose to win. Maybe the tag team championships, not so much. But what's your overall thoughts on the NXT card?
I agree with you with the first two. The Satomura match will be a close match. And I think she might be the next Japanese person to be on the main roster is Miko Satomura, because I'd love to see Miko Satomura versus Io Sky or Asuka, you know. But,
yeah,
I agree with you there. And, look, also Gallus. There's another three-man group. There's another faction that can be brought up and be, like I said, faction wars.
Well, another faction I think is being brought up because we have trying to think of his name now. Why did I blank on the Spanish group, Todd? What are their what's their names? The
the Fagano.
Yeah, hold on, let me get you back. Having trouble with the phones. Go ahead.
Guardo Fantasma or something.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that whole faction is coming up, I believe, Mike. Or at least we know a couple of the guys are coming up, and that would be what a three-man faction as well.
Fantasma, and remember who they were fighting with before they came up. They were fighting with B-Fab and the rest of them.
It will, yeah. Yep.
You know,
so that'll be interesting. Yeah, there's a lot of interesting things going on. I mean, I know I had a fan say, do you think it's possible that Imperium are the people that turn the Usos, the bloodline, good? Yeah, it's possible. Yeah, that's possible. I don't think it's immediate. I don't think it's still after WrestleMania, but it's certainly possible. There's so much that's possible. We're starting to see what we always called on this show, branches on the tree. And before we would see a branch and you say, well, that branch is going to lead to this branch. Now we're starting to see a branch that you say, well, that could go in 3 or 4 different directions. You know, you start out with this branch and you say, well, there's a branch on that side. There's a branch on that side, or you could just go forward this way. And if you do, there's extra branches there. Each thing seems to be more branches on the tree. I'm starting to see that now in the booking. I'm starting to see anticipation of what could happen. When fans write me and say, do you think this matchup will happen? You think that much match will happen? That's a positive sign. Because I didn't have fans do that for a long time. When I got fans talking to me or writing to me, they'd just be like, who's going to win this? Or it's very obvious these guys are going to fight this guy. What do you think about it? Now there's almost like fantasy booking where people are saying, do you think maybe Brock Lesnar's going to come back to fight Gunther? Yeah, that'd be great. Do you think, like, we're going to see a League of the Phantasma or whatever, they're going to come in? Do you think they're going to start back up with Hit Row? Yeah, could be, or they could end up being faces for all we know. I don't know. Do you think it's possible that we're going to see the bloodline turn good? Yeah, it's possible. There's so many possibilities now. I said yesterday, Friday, I said this pay-per-view is like a reset button. And we'll see where the future is going to be. We'll see if the future is going to be more of the same NXT style stuff where it's just going to be NXT, you know, on a greater scale, or if it's really going to be a whole new ball game. Based on what I saw yesterday, It feels like it's going to be a whole new ball game, and it feels like it could be a very damn entertaining ball game. We know Braun Strowman's coming back on Monday night. I have no idea what they're going to do with him. We know that there's talks that they're really trying to get Bray Wyatt back. That would be something. There's so much going on. And we're now seeing attention to the undercard. Where never before did we, where we're saying, well, there's stuff even going on with the guys who aren't top guys. The mid-card guys still have a gimmick going on. They still have a storyline. They're still in the mix. That's probably the best thing that I've seen as far as the difference in WWE, Mike.
Right, and think about this. We were talking about branches on a tree, but you look at a branch on a tree, and what do they have? They have these little offshoot called limbs. Not only are we getting branches on the tree, but we're getting the limbs as well where, okay, we can go down the branch, but we got this little offshoot right here off this branch, and there's a storyline there, you know?
They're popping up. That's what I'm saying. We're now starting to see multi-directional storytelling where you say this story could take several different turns, and all of the turns would be acceptable, or most of them at least would be acceptable. Before, we got one branch. This is the way it's going to be. You know it. We know it. Just enjoy it. Now we're speculating. And we're saying, well, what will we see? You'll notice even that Garza came out, his crew, whatever they're calling them now, Los Lotharios, they came out to sort of try to help the Maximum Male Models. Where's that going? Where's that going? Because where I see that going, if they want to really do it, is you can have some four-man matches with obviously the Hit Row and the Street Profits, but then maybe you could have some jealousy form there, and you could have those two teams against each other. No, they're not top teams, but they're about evenly matched, and that would be a hell of a good match. You could even have one of the two, the female go with the Los Lotharios and let Eli Drake go with the other guys. There's so much you could do there, Tom, and it feels like they're trying.
Yeah, for sure. You know, just speculation about things is coming back, and that's what I love about it. I don't like it to be so pretty. I know it's predetermined, but I don't like it to be so predictable. And when you extend that many branches, and you keep the guessing up, and you keep the speculation, you get the fans talking, and that's impactful, especially for longtime fans like us, because we haven't done that in a while.
That's the key to the whole thing. When you get fans who are speculating, before fans were just questioning booking. I know what's going to happen. What do you think? Do you think it's a good thing or a bad thing? That's what fans always used to talk to me about. Now I'm hearing fans say, do you think this might happen? I have an idea. Do you think the WWE would ever do this? And I'm saying to myself, see, that's returning now. I have no information that Brock Lesnar is going to challenge Gunther. But I can tell you this. If they do plan on that, the roof will blow off the building. That is a big match. If you're going to do that, that is a big match. Ain't no question about that. That will be a big match. Somewhere along the line, you feel you're going to get to Shayna Baszler versus Ronda Rousey. That could be a big match. Now, you heard it a little bit with Shayna losing, but you could rehab her quickly enough. We have the talks about Asuka and Io Sky. We have the talks about all these factions coming in. Where's Braun Strowman going to fit in? Is he going to be a heel or a face? Are we looking at Strowman versus Lashley maybe at some point? We don't know what's going on. And that's good. And when the WWE puts on a pay-per-view, like they did last night, where I say, I don't know, Riddle might win. Riddle very well might win this match. You would think it would be Seth Rollins, but I wouldn't bet my life on it. Or Sheamus may win. I mean, it is overseas here where he's the big deal. They may let him win for one last hurrah. After all, he's getting close to retirement, and it's the belt he never, ever, ever won before. Maybe they're going to. And even the title match, I said, it is a very good possibility that Drew McIntyre is walking out of here the champion. I know that Roman Reigns wants to take some time off. I know they had plans for WrestleMania that might have fell through with The Rock. I don't know. There were so many matches last night that I say, I reasonably think this person's going to win, but I wouldn't bet my life on it. That's when it becomes fun, Mike, where you can't say for sure.
Right. And that's when it becomes fun. And here's another little detail that happened last night. What was one of the moves that Roman Reigns used in that match?
Yeah, the rock bottom. Yeah, you saw that, right?
There you go. When you've got that much attention to detail, when you know they want that match, right, and they allow Roman Reigns to use that move, it didn't get the pinfall. Okay, that's fine. It didn't get the pinfall. We didn't expect it to get the pinfall because we knew it's going to be a spear or if worst comes to worst, it's going to be that guillotine he likes to do. Right?
Right.
Right. But he did the rock bottom. That's basically saying, okay, we have it on good authority that match between him and The Rock is going to happen. If he's using that move in that way in that match, that's a message to The Rock.
And it's also a tease to the fans that could possibly be happening. And likewise with Seth Rollins using a lot of Orton's moves, it makes me think Orton's pretty much getting ready to maybe make that comeback. You let Riddle lose. That was one of your most popular tag teams. Orton might be on his way back. A lot of good stuff going on. A lot of good stuff going on. We'll watch the AEW pay-per-view tonight and the NXT pay-per-view as much as we possibly can, and we'll give you some results and things like that. On it as much as we can on Friday. Folks, if you didn't like last night's pay-per-view, really think you have to question whether you're an honest-to-God wrestling fan, because there was absolutely nothing to dislike about any of that. That thing worked like a charm. Let's just hope they can keep that quality up and they don't let us down. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.